Welcome to Bible Bros and Brew. This week, we are kicking off a new conversation around community. It may seem like a simple word off the rip, but let me tell you, it is packed full, and there's so much that's involved with biblical community. Up next on Bible Bros and Brew. Welcome to Bible Bros and Brew. I'm David. With me, as usual, the usual suspects, Philip and Ryan, are with us tonight. And we're talking about community. And I'm so excited to get into this conversation with you. But before we do that, as always, let's do a quick cup check and let's find out what everyone's drinking. Philip, how about you?
To my old faithful friends at Peregrine. This is the latest rendition that they've blessed the world with. It's called Yellow Honey.
Oh, yeah.
Notes of Rainier Cherry, Chocolate Banana, and Toffee. This thing is a banger, dude. It is so good, man. And I do want to point out also my awesome equestrian mug.
That's awesome.
How about you, Ryan? What's going on in your cup, sir?
Oh, man, I'm breaking back out the Phoenix Roasters brew here.
Nice.
Cold brew concentrate. And I am rocking the classical mason jar, fresh from the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Yes.
Something about the mason jar makes it old school but new school.
Right. That's exactly right.
That's a powerful tool. Tonight, I have bought back out a favorite of mine. Well, it's become a favorite since I started drinking it a couple of weeks ago. It's Butter Pecan from Red Barn Coffee.
Yes.
Massachusetts. It's so good. And my wife's cup, sorry, this time, you are my one and only.
Oh, my goodness.
David, that was lovely. What is the flavor again?
Butter pecan.
Butter, that's not what you
said. For you southern folks, it's butter pecan.
Butter pecan. What is it, Phil? What is it?
Oh my gosh, I've heard it both ways. I say butter pecan.
Pecan, but, for sure.
Yeah.
Man, let us know what you say down in the comments below.
Yes. But
I know I'm definitely right. It's pecan.
But if you, yeah,
if I said it any other sinful way, forgive me.
We'll reference the last season's episodes of forgiveness.
Right. Please do.
Oh, man.
All right. That's what everybody is drinking. Now, what are we chatting about? Well, we're chatting about community. And I'm going to tell you, this is it's a little bit of a hard one to get into, because community can mean several things. Right. There can be even other words that are connected with community. When you look at the Bible, when you see words like church, brotherhood, body of Christ, fellowship, all of these words are words that lead back to, in some way, to community. Right. And the word community leads back to those words as well. But as I look at Acts chapter 2, I want to kick us off here, because we see in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, what I think was probably the purest form of community when the early church began. So in Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 42, I'm even going to go back to 41. I know you don't have it here, but 41 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Then in 42 it says, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer." And then it goes on to say, "A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders." And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So we've got a lot in this verse, but in it, it basically says that the people were all together and they were one. And when it talks about one, it makes it very clear what that one was. They were one in prayer.
Right.
They were one in the study of the word. Mm-hmm. They were one in what were the other two? Food
and shared fellowship.
Food. Yeah.
And fellowship. And they were one in prayer. Right? And so at the beginning, at the early church, this is where things started. And that's how we're even having this conversation. Is I can't help but wonder why we're not like that now. Because I'm looking around at our world today, and if ever we needed that fellowship, that community, it's now. The community to strengthen one another, to encourage one another, to go on in love, and all of those things. Boy, do we need that right now. But right. I don't see it in the way I just don't see it. And so it led to conversation with Philip and Ryan to say, why aren't we seeing this? Where is this at? And so as we dig, we look at Acts 2 and we see its origin. I'll share one other thing with you and then I'll let the guys jump in. Later on in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, we see the writer pretty much says the same thing once again about the fellowship, the community that they had developed. Starting in verse 32, it says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that ought of the things or any of the things." Thank you, Ryan. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that they owed what they owed was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. And then it gives a for instance of Barnabas, who sold his land and bought it to the apostles' feet for them to distribute to the people who were in need. So once again, we see that the people were one. They were united in heart and mind, and that which means when we're united in heart and mind, they were united around the word, and now they're all pushing towards the same types of goals, which really were twofold: to evidence the resurrection of Christ and to testify of it to others so that they would come into the fold and become a part of this new community that had been born. So I'm going to stop right there for a minute. Philip and Ryan, when you hear all that, when you see those first couple of verses, what runs through your thought process about community?
One of the biggest things to me is they, just from the way you read the different things that were going on and kind of the attitude or the approach they had, you can tell that they had something bigger in mind than just their own agenda or their own ideas.
Like, wow, that's good.
It's almost like there was a shared purpose to those fellowships that were all over the place. And I think that that's probably one of the biggest things that helps community thrive, if you want to put it that way, is that there is a shared purpose. There's a shared goal. There's a shared understanding of why we're doing what we're doing. I keep thinking about that scripture in Philippians, and I hate that I didn't prep it to put it on the screen, but it's the one that says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. I think it's in Philippians 2. And it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each person esteem others better than themselves. And then it says, every man should not only look on after his own things, but also after the things of others, meaning don't just only care about your little world and us four and no more and that kind of thing, but think about how you can be a blessing to the other people around you and in your fellowship as well. Ah, there it is. Thank you, Ryan. It says, yeah, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And a lot of the commentators I read say that that next part of that verse that follows this is actually a conclusion of what was just said. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. They were saying everything we just mentioned in those previous verses, that is basically a summary of the mind of Christ or how Jesus has taught us to approach things. So let that mind be in you that was in Christ. And I thought it was really cool when I read that. But that's just what comes to my mind. It's like selfishness and that the whole idea of just only living to please self or gratify self. It didn't seem like it was a part of the thinking of the early church.
It's almost, you can pretty much tell that, excuse me, that it couldn't have worked out if there was selfish thinking in it.
Right.
And later on down the road, we can prove that because we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who were right in the midst of this whole thing and decided to do something that was selfish, but it was also unnecessary.
Yeah. Yep.
So, Ryan, how about you?
I would agree with Phil. Like, I think what stands out to me the most is the fact that they were all selfless. It wasn't really about their own. It doesn't really seem to be about their own agenda. It just seems to be about, you know, when they go before Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they're there and all the believers are devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, verse 42, and the fellowship. And the reason why they're devoted, the reason why they're sharing, the reason why they're praying, the reason why they're fellowshipping, the reason why they're eating is because Jesus told them to go and to wait. And as they're there, as they're in that room and they're waiting, and they have this deep sense of awe over them, they're not there for themselves. And I think, to your point, David, I think maybe we can talk about this a little bit later, but I think to your point, you know, you said, well, I just don't see it today. And maybe it's because the deep sense of awe is so I can get goosebumps and feel good about myself and make myself feel like super natural and spiritual and have a moral high ground. But that's not why these 120 people are in this room. They're in this room first and foremost because Jesus told them to go. Secondly, they're expecting God to show up and do something. And thirdly, they're there to serve the needs of everyone but themselves. And I like the fact that you fast forward to Acts chapter 4, just goes to prove it that they were giving. They realized in their community that they were only as strong as their weakest link. So the person that didn't have food, then none of them had food. So they realized that they were only as strong as their weakest link. And I think we've lost that in the community of believers today.
Well, you guys kind of said it, and we're a really interesting group of people, and we've got all these different beliefs, all these different nuances to our faith that we call nuance that really is just some foolishness in some cases. We have some who are trying to capitalize off of the body of Christ. And the reality is none of that is new either, because as you read through the rest of the New Testament, the community of Christ was constantly pushing back against those who had ill will or ill plans towards them. Just like, for example, Titus comes in and talks about brothers who came in unaware, you know, because they had the intention that they were going to extort money from people, or they were going to gain power and control over people. You know, Timothy talks about those wolves in sheep's clothing that come around. And so we will talk a little bit more about that later in the series about, you know, who are the people in your neighborhood. But, you know, it's, we have such a dynamic in our body today. I wonder sometimes if we can ever get it together, because sometimes it feels like a daunting task to go to other brothers and sisters and say, I'm your sibling in Christ, and I'm here to help you in whatever way I can. And then to hope it's reciprocated, but to have to not care whether it is reciprocated or not, but to simply do your part and be okay with just doing your part. And so how have, you know, it makes me almost want to ask the question, how did we get here from Acts 2 and Acts chapter 4 to where we are today? Any thoughts?
I think one of the things that has kind of emerged over time, of course, you know, the church has been through a lot of phases, first of all, from its inception till now. I mean, you had the whole, you know, medieval period, the Dark Ages, where everything was just wacky. I mean, they, you know, there was no understanding of the word. There was nobody even letting the word be read among the people. It was like, that's for the clergy only. Don't you mess with the Bible. It'll make you go crazy. You know, I mean, it was a lot of strange beliefs out there about the Bible back then. So we kind of went through that phase, of course, fast forwarding a heck of a lot of time. But we finally get to this place where the scripture is now far more open and people are far more familiar with it now, just overall in the body of Christ than probably ever in history. And I think one of the things that came from that is, and I don't know that's a bad thing in its right place, but this idea that, wow, here's all the things God's promised. You know, man, he's promised us so many great things. I want to go after this stuff that he's told us we could have. And so in a sense, it's like, instead of viewing the word as, you know, a means or a gauge to help us conduct ourselves, now we've started to look at it as like, okay, what did God promise me? I want that. What did God promise me? I want that. It's almost like, here's what I can get from it. You know, right. Like a vending machine kind of situation. And not that God didn't promise things, not that you can't get blessed from doing the word, because the Bible says that you will. You know, it's in James 1. He's like, if you're a doer of the word, you'll be blessed in your deeds. But I think that maybe this idea of, let me approach the Bible for what I can get rather than what I can give and who I can bless. Honestly, I think that might have a lot to do with it, or maybe, you know, a significant amount to do with it.
Ryan?
Yeah, I agree. I don't really have. I'm producing, so I'm lost in the sauce.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's there are so many things. We have deviated in doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have deviated in love, because we're in such a, even in the day and age we live in now, we're in such a self-love, self-help place that we can't be of any good to anybody else.
That's what I was looking for earlier. What you just said is that self-improvement, you know, motivational mindset is kind of seeped into the body of Christ, and it's almost like it's just self-improvement or personal development under a different label. Now we have some scriptures to throw in there with it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's I don't know that Jesus had that as first place in his mind when he gave us all this stuff. So just my thoughts.
There, even as we go through, we may see some of them, but there's even scripture after scripture that talks about our role to, you know, help the helpless, mm-hmm. you know, to serve those who are in need. And I mean, our job as brothers and sisters and members of the community is clear. We are, for whatever reasons, not exercising. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing we've done is we've bought into the world's, into secularism.
Mm. Yes, sir.
By buying into secularism, we look out for us. We've made our community our family only in some cases. And so we don't give any room into that because you can't, because people are crazy and somebody might try to kill you. And, you know, all of this stuff. And sure, you can't.
Tell the truth and shame the devil.
You can't be blind about things, you know, but at the same time, you can't be so trapped away that you're no use to the kingdom of God.
Yeah, good point.
And so we've got to find our balance in that. Mm-hmm. There's a great definition in here for community. And I thought I would share that with you guys today. But Brian, when I switched computers, I also lost that verse there. So
Romans 12.
No, it's the quote.
There we go.
It talks about the word community. It says this term also designates a group bound together by a strong commitment to shared spiritual values and a common sense of being a people who embody a telos, a purpose or purpose connected to God's intentions and for God's intentions for humankind and creation. So there is, maybe that's one of the things that we need to talk about, is what is the purpose of the body of Christ? Because maybe if we reconnected with what our purpose is, then it'll clear up our due and what we're supposed to be doing. There was also, there was something, Ryan, can you put the first part of that back up? It's worth mentioning that when we talk about community, we're not talking about something brand new or even per se exclusive, because throughout the church, from back when there were tribes to now, community has shifted and changed and its meaning. But now, you know, you have photography communities. You have, you know, small group communities. You've got running communities and all this good stuff. So you have different types of fellowships, communities, gatherings that are built around shared passions, shared appetites, shared desires. There are foodie communities out there. And so when we talk about community, I think it's important to make clear that we are talking about a community that is built upon a strong commitment to the Lord with shared spiritual value and a common sense of being a people with a purpose and with a godly purpose on top of that. So we have to make sure that while we're not part of the photography club, we're part of the body of Christ, and we are a group of believers who are bringing new people in and who are encouraging and developing and growing ourselves and helping to grow and develop others. And then even when you look at the Bible, you start seeing, like in Ephesians chapter 4, you know, Paul starts talking about how there are roles in the body that are designed to help it. There are roles in the community designed to help the community grow and to mature so that they won't be blown away like the wind. You know, so it's community is such a big deal, and it's something that I'm excited about digging in with you guys.
Yeah, to your point, David, you know, just talking about how, you know, we're all naturally a part of, we naturally fit into different communities. So if we, you know, like you said, if we like photography, we're going to join photography. If we like working out, we're going to join a gym and find people that, you know, will work out with us and run with us. If, you know, I just got back from doing an ultimate Frisbee group, you know, with some guys, because, you know, it's fun. And even in the Old Testament, there are 12 tribes of Israel, right? So God even groups us. And so I guess we can say that as human beings, we have a natural need and a natural ability to belong somewhere. So we have a need to belong and we have the ability to belong.
That's good.
And I think, your question was, well, we have to get back to the original purpose. Well, so let's ask the question, well, why were they gathering in Acts 2 and Acts 4 and Acts 6 and 5? And why is that so important? And why does it seem so different than today? And true enough, people get involved. And when people get involved, they're going to people.
Right.
Right. So that does happen. But that people aspect is very vital, because that's how God establishes it. So it has to happen. But I think to answer your question is, what is our purpose? My opinion is, we have to go back to how we opened it, is it's different than photography, a photography group. Because a photography group, I'm a part of that and I want to belong, so I can become better at photography. And then true enough, like, maybe, or I get a satisfaction out of helping other people get better, right?
Right.
That's why I'm a part of the group. Or, you know, I'm a part of a workout group so that I can help be more fit, right? And helps me keep it. And true enough, I can help other people be accountable to being fit. And so there is kind of a give and a take. And I think in the kingdom of God, it's been perverted to just be all take. Yep. I think, you know, we disguise church and we've become very passive to say, that's my community. But all we do is just sit. And yeah, I might tithe, but that's not really even being a part of the community. It's just paying a due. It's paying my community fees to be a part, to have membership. Right. And there's no expectation on me. It's all just take. I'm going to come and I'm going to sit and listen to the pastor. He may not even be that good. I may not even really like what he says, but I'll just do him the service of listening to him, because he spends all week or all Sunday morning preparing for his message. Right. And so that's my due to this community. And so it's all take, and it's to make, and it's really just that, you know, where the workout group is to, so you can get physically fit, the camera group, the photography group, so I can become a better photographer. And then the Sunday church group, we've just turned it into where it just washes away my guilt. So it's the take all my guilt group and work it out. And there's no expectation on me as a Sunday morning attender to live a life for anybody else. Because at least with the photography group, there's an expectation that I have to be a better photographer. Otherwise, everyone's just going to be like, you're wasting your time. The gym group, there's an expectation that you're going to attend and work out and maybe even eat healthier and make some progress and show up at least. That's the expect. And if I don't, then people are just going to be like, okay, well, bro, you probably need to find another group, and they're going to move on. Right. And there's an expectation in the ultimate Frisbee group that I'm in that we're going to work out and get better and, you know, call each other up and say, hey, are you showing up tonight? And if we don't, then it's just going to fall. But Sunday morning church what we call Christian community, we've just made it where there's all the expectation on the pastor. So if he messes up, if he steps out of line, if he doesn't do right, well, to Hades with him. But if I do it, there's no expectation. If I don't show up for 3, 4, 6 weeks, then there's no expectation. Don't judge me. Don't condemn me. Oh, you can't. You don't know my situation. I've been working so hard. Oh, I work all week. I just want to, you know, there's no expectation. And I think that is really the problem with Christian community, is that we've put all the expectation on everybody else and there's no expectation on me.
That's good, Ryan. That's good.
Good stuff.
I got nothing to add to that. I mean, it's just there. And I think one of the things that's cool about the early church is that when you look at it, they were doing what they were doing daily.
Daily.
Daily. So it shows you that it meant something more than even just a Sunday thing. It was about their everyday life. And you see the outcome of it was that I believe it was because they gathered like they did daily that the apostles were able to work miracles that were uncommon, because I think their level of faith was higher.
Mm-hmm, right.
It was higher because they were unified.
Yeah.
They were part of an in community, and it changed the atmosphere where they were.
Yeah. And not only that, with the working of the miracles, but also it said the Lord added to the church daily.
Right.
As they were doing what they were doing daily.
And not in small numbers either.
No. I mean, they were coming in by the droves. And they didn't have any gimmicks. They didn't have any seeker-friendly ideas. They simply were doing what God told them to do. And that was enough. You know, just the sincerity of that connection with God, that community that was centered around him, just that the sincerity of their approach was enough for God to move in that atmosphere and bring people in. I felt you, Ryan, on a lot of what you said as far as. And I was thinking about it as you were saying, and I was like, it's very possible to be in church but not be in community at all.
Right.
You know?
Well, it's not just possible. It's the reality of today.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And we see the church is, if we believe the statistics, the church is diminishing.
Because, you know, I can leave. You know, there's people a part of my church that say, you know, they call the pastor of that church their pastor, but they haven't even showed up to the church in 2 years, literally, or more. I've been there for 4 years and never even met the people, and they call this pastor their pastor. And they would say, oh, that's my pastor, but they haven't even showed up. They haven't done anything, not even so much as tithe. Maybe they tithe, I don't know. And we don't do online service. You know what I mean? So it's not like they're watching online. And so I think that we just, you know, we've gotten away as quote believers in Jesus, right? I think that we've gotten away with the idea of saying that the church is my escape hatch, so that I can live any way that I want, because now I have, it's kind of like a life insurance policy, and this is more of a spiritual eternity policy that I think we've developed this idea. We probably would never say it as Americans, but we've developed this idea, as long as I have a church, one day, if, I don't think even people believe that they will, but they just have, if I stand before God one day, I can say, well, you know, First Baptist, so such and such of Louisville was my church home, and Pastor Greg was my pastor. And God's gonna be like, bro, Pastor Greg, I ain't even been the pastor there for 17 years. You know. And so you don't even know what you're talking about. And we believe that we can just use this as our spiritual insurance policy. You know, and so when it's time to cash in, I've got it there, but I don't have to utilize it to a daily, weekly, you know, basis.
That's good, Ryan. Well, you see, we're about to get into this, and who knows where it's going to take us. We promise to, as they say, press the flesh on this one. and get the best and the most out of it. So as you think about laying a foundation, gentlemen, what are your final thoughts for today?
I would just encourage everyone to go and read the scriptures that we brought up, especially the Acts 2, just kind of study that whole chapter, study those first, you know, two or three chapters in Acts about the early church and what was going on, just to get a feel for how they were seeing their role in light of what Jesus taught and so forth. But I say study those scriptures, and also I recommend getting into Romans 12, where it talks about the body of Christ and how, even though we're different people, we're all part of one body. Same in 1 Corinthians 12, I think, as well. There's a whole passage in there about the body of Christ, the function, and so forth. So just take some time to study and really kind of get the idea or the concept of community in your heart.
Brian?
I want to just encourage you to understand that there is an expectation on your life, an expectation to live your life for those that are around you. And I don't say that to condemn you. I don't say that to put you down or to make you feel guilty. I say that to develop vision for your life as a man, if this is Bible Bros and Brew, I'm talking to my fellas. I'm talking to the ladies that are listening too. There's an expectation to live your life for the kingdom of God, but that there are people around you and out there that you have, and people you haven't even met yet, people you know, that are waiting on you. And so I just want to encourage you that there is an expectation on your life to live in this kingdom. There's an expectation more than just showing up, more than just putting your butt in the seat, more than just checking an attendance box, more than just even serving in the nursery or holding open a door and greeting. That's all great. More than just serving in a parking lot or a youth ministry. Man, that's awesome if you do that. But the expectation is to live selflessly in and out of the church, in Sunday and out of Sunday, wherever you go. If you go, and I'll encourage you even to read into Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 2, spoiler alert, they added 2,000, 3,000 to the church that day, 3,000. You read into Acts chapter 3, the very next chapter, by the end of that chapter, they add another 2,000 because they prayed for a dude outside of the church on their way to prayer. They got interrupted by this crippled dude. They pray for him because they don't got any money. And then they get thrown into jail because they healed the guy. And then by the time they're in jail, they preach the gospel. And then the jail's like, and the courtroom's like, there's nothing we can do. And then more people get saved. 2,000 more people get saved by chapter 3 because John and Peter realize it's not really about me. Their schedule gets interrupted on the way to prayer, and they pray. They get thrown into jail, and they don't pout, and they don't blame God. They just say, okay, well, this is where we're at. And then because of all that, more people come to know the gospel and have eternity. More people understand there's an expectation and a purpose to my life, and that's what I want to end with. When you have a revelation that there's an expectation, then you have a revelation that you have a purpose.
Good stuff. I'll just add to that. So many of you are looking for your purpose. Mm-hmm. You may find that your purpose is in community. And by serving other people, loving on other people, and pouring out your heart and life for others, that you find exactly what your purpose is in the midst of doing that. So pour it out for people. People are worth it, despite how ugly this world is. All right, everybody, that's been Bible Bros and Brew. And we've been David, Philip, and Ryan. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. So I forgot what I was supposed to say at that moment, so I had to work it out. You can always write to us at gotbrew@biblebros.net. You can also send a note to us in the comment section of this application that you're watching or listening on. But we would love to hear from you and can't wait to be a part of your community. And you become a part of our community. We're bros. We're bromance. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, everybody knows your name.
Sorry.
And on that note, until next time, we'll see you then.
Bye, guys. Oh, yeah. Cheers to you.